one here, the rowdies one there, they kick the ball around. The rowdies one here, the rowdies one there, then they fall on the ground. Oh, the rowdies, the rowdies, the rowdies are kicking the grass.
Here's another reason why WISL is your sports leader. Now, on FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WISL, North America's longest-running soccer radio show, Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Your hosts, former Rochester Lancers trainer Joe Redcard Sirianni, Rochester Rhinos broadcaster Andrew Battisti, the editor of BigAppleSoccer.com and TropaGoal.com, Michael Lewis, and former Lancer and Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer, Mr. Zero, Dick Howard. Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Dr. David Olivo, Family Dentistry, and brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos and Western New York Flash, top-notch monogramming Northfield Commons, Pittsburgh, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Faber Homes, Claridge Design Center, Olindo's, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. And now, here's Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. This is Andrew Battisti. Thanks very much for being with us tonight. We have a lot to talk about our U.S. national team, of course, the match against Mexico, the 2-1 loss to the Tricolores, and the upcoming match Tuesday down in Costa Rica, where the U.S. has never won in World Cup qualifying. We will talk with Michael Lewis tonight. He was on site in Columbus, Ohio, for the match between U.S. and Mexico. We'll get his thoughts and his prognostications on the upcoming match on Tuesday. We also want to have Dick, we're also going to have Dick Howard on, as always, to talk about international soccer, the World Cup qualifiers taking place on Friday and Saturday, Sunday. So big friendlies coming up also this week. I'm going to get then back to league play over the weekend. And before we get into the show, we're going to talk a little about youth soccer. We haven't talked about it too much, but our high school teams, some state championships were handed out this week, along with our college soccer teams. They have had some playoff matches, and there's some teams still involved in national tournaments. We'll talk about that as well. Well, Joe Sirianni, unfortunately, is not with us tonight, and we hope everything goes well with Joe. He'll be back with us, hopefully, on next week's show. First thing we want to talk about is the Western New York Flash. We want to congratulate Jess McDonald, who earned her first cap with the U.S. Women's National Team in their win against Romania 8-1 on Thursday. And we're very, very proud of Jess. And at the age of 28, getting her first cap, she's been a tremendous player in the NWSL over the last several years, and certainly was one of the main reasons why the Flash won the NWSL title this year. She replaced Lynn Williams at the midway point of the match on Thursday. Didn't score, but she certainly had some good play. She did not play or suit up in Sunday's match, but on Sunday, U.S. did beat Romania 5-0, and Sam Mewis of the Flash scored a goal in that match. So congratulations to our U.S. Women's National Team. They finished undefeated in 2016. They did not lose at all. Of course, the match in the Olympic Games was officially a draw, even though they lost on penalties to Sweden. But it was certainly a fine year for the national team, and we're very happy to have a number of Flash players now, with Lynn Williams and Abby Dahlkemper, Sam Mewis, Jess McDonald, Jay Hinkle, all members of our national team. So be sure to get your season tickets for the Flash for next year. Makes a great Christmas gift. You can call 271-KICK or go to WNYFlash.com. And, of course, while you're at it, get Rhino season tickets as well for next year. The Ottawa Fury and the Tampa Bay Rowdies will be joining the USL. So we're getting to see two new teams come in next season. 454-KICK or go to RhinoSoccer.com. Well, as I mentioned, we had state championships in boys and girls soccer at the high school level over the weekend. We want to congratulate the state champions, the girls from Spencerport. What a story they were. They gave up 6 goals across the entire season, Rhinos-like in their defense, and scored bunches and bunches of goals. They won in the state championship match on Sunday, defeating Jamesville DeWitt by a 2-1 score. So congratulations to Spencerport. The daughter of my hairdresser actually is on the Spencerport team. Fortunately, did not play this season due to injury, but we're very proud of Spencerport, as we are of Wheatland Chilai. They won their first state title in many years, defeating Poland by a score of 2-0 on the weekend on Sunday. Geneseo made the final as well, unfortunately losing to Port Jefferson by a score of 4-1. On the boys' side, Alfred Almond was our lone Section 5 champion on the boys' side, defeating Fordan 2-1 in double overtime. Worldham and Inquiry, the city team looking to become the first city team to win a state title in soccer. They dominated the match against North Salem, but unfortunately the ball wouldn't go in back of the net enough times, and North Salem won that one 2-1 in extra time. And same scoreline for Fairport in Class AA, losing to New Rochelle in regular time by a score of 2-1. So again, congratulations to all of the high school teams that did so well this year in the state tournament. On the college level, the MCC women begin play in the national tournament tomorrow. They are representing Rochester, and certainly we wish them well. The men did get knocked out before the tournament this year, so Nelson Capello certainly will have a formidable team for next season, I'm sure. In Division III, the U of R men and Fisher men made the NCAA tournament but were knocked out, but Cortland is still active. They'll be playing in the Sweet 16 this weekend. On the women's side, congratulations to William Smith. They are undefeated, number one in the country at 20 wins, 0 losses, and 0 ties. They will be playing in the Sweet 16 this weekend. Also, congratulations to Nazareth and Buff State, who both made the NCAA tournament. So certainly a lot of representation from the Rochester and upstate New York areas in the high school and collegiate levels. We congratulate all the athletes in the high school and college level of soccer for doing a great job, as always, during their seasons. Before we go to break, one quick programming note. Next week on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, we will start half an hour early at 6 p.m., and we will go up to 7:10 before University of Rochester basketball appears here on WYSL. So be sure to set your calendar. Make note, 6 p.m., start for our show next Monday here on WYSL. We're going an hour and 10 minutes, and we'll let you know what's going to be happening on that show as we move closer to that date. Let's take our first break now. When we come back, we'll be joined by Mr. Zero, Dick Howard. We'll talk international soccer here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM, and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Topnotchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
Are you looking for a new dentist for your family? Dr. David Olivo has been caring for Rochester's dental needs for over 15 years and would welcome the opportunity to serve you. To make an appointment, call 328-3382. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Cooja Cooja, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore!
Are you looking to update the kitchen, bath, or flooring in your home, but don't know where to begin? Whether it's cabinetry, carpeting, hardwood flooring, tile, or kitchen and bathroom remodeling, Claridge Design Center in Chi-Lai Fall Plaza is the place to start. Locally owned with over 25 years in business, Claridge Custom Designs and Builds quality remodeling projects throughout Rochester and Monroe County. At Claridge, the visions and ideas you have for your home are developed with the experienced Claridge designers to make your dream project a reality, and the quality of service you receive at Claridge is second to none. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call Claridge at 889-5800 or visit their website to meet the Claridge team. See examples of their finished work at ClarideDesignCenter.com.
Looking to save money on your weekly grocery bill? Visit Olindo's Cash and Carry at 1510 Lyle Avenue in Rochester. Olindo's provides Italian and Spanish items, imported and domestic cheeses, deli meats, and homegrown produce with a perfect blend of quality, selection, value, and personal service. Olindo's wholesale prices are the best around, and there's no membership fee. Call Olindo's at 647-1985 or visit them on the web at olindofoodservice.com.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Stand by.
Now, on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, it's time for our international report with one of North America's top soccer journalists, a member of the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame, and a 2013 inductee into the Rochester Lancers Hall of Fame, Mr. Zero, Dick Howard.
In our international report with Dick Howard, brought to you by our title sponsor, Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry. They're located at 2005 Lyle Avenue in Gates, right off the 390 Expressway. You can visit their website at davidolivodmd.com, or you can call the office at 328-3382 if you want to make an appointment for a consultation to get your teeth cleaned, or to have their Dr. Olivo and his staff check your oral hygiene and your oral situation, see if there's anything might be wrong. If you're having any trouble with your teeth or gums, definitely give Dr. Olivo a call. Like, I've been going to the practice for my whole life, pretty much. Dr. Olivo is the third person, the doctor I've seen at the same practice, and Joe and I certainly highly recommend Dr. Olivo for all your dental needs. Good evening, Dick. How are things going up in Toronto way?
Good. The excitement's mounting, Andrew, for the big match.
The big match next Tuesday as the Toronto Reds take on Montreal Impact at the Olympic Stadium. I know, Dick, you said you're going to the match, and boy, it's going to be an unbelievable atmosphere, and it's going to be broadcast, obviously, locally here on television. But
that'll be tremendous. They're expecting 60,000. Apparently, they've already sold 40,000 tickets, and there'll be a significant number of fans coming in from Toronto going along the Highway 401, 5-6 hour drive to Montreal. So it's getting a lot of press and a lot of interest, and it's going to be a very closely contested series, that is for sure.
It certainly will, and the winner will go to the MLS Cup Final, be the first Canadian team to be represented in the MLS Finals in their history. So it's certainly a big event, and it's going to be very, very intense. Dick, we'll talk more about that next week, because we do have another show to do before that game. But I know you're very excited about going up for that match, and also for the return leg on the 30th at BMO Field. Well, Dick, we certainly had a great big week of World Cup qualifying, and the world, I think, was watching that England-Scotland match, and I don't think it was a surprise, the result, England winning pretty comfortably by a 3-0 scoreline. You might think that, I don't know if what you thought about Gordon Strachan's job with Scotland, he might be in trouble, I think, because that was a not a good performance by the Scots.
No, it certainly reinforces Gareth Southgate's position there in wanting the full-time job. And 3-0 was actually the biggest win against Scotland in 41 years. So it's always great to get it against the old enemy. But, Andrew, I'm still looking at this bizarre situation with Dzeko getting his second yellow card by pulling down the shorts of a Greek player. A good job he didn't pull any harder. It could have been a real embarrassment, but what an incredible situation. I don't know how the referee would put it in his, the reason for the second yellow card was.
Lack of modesty, probably. I don't know what was going on.
It's just unreal, but I was delighted for the Greek fans because it's a tremendous equalizing goal, 1-1, in a few days of games in which the underdogs really didn't get any satisfaction, that there weren't too many results that surprised me in European qualifying, that is for sure.
Everything went pretty much to form over the weekend. No surprises, a lot of big
blowouts,
as a matter of fact. The Belgium certainly had a huge result, winning 8-1. I mean, obviously, you rack up as many goals as you can in World Cup qualifying. Germany won in San Marino 8-0. And it's
lots of big scores. I found it a lot more interesting in Africa. You know, and last night a big game in Egypt, and Egypt beat Ghana, one of the teams that were expected to qualify out of Africa, but they didn't. And their eternal rivals from Nigeria, Super Eagles, got a great result against Algeria in Group B. Group C, Cote d'Ivoire, they're the favourites there. They got a scoreless game in Morocco. South Africa, surprise, they beat Senegal in Group D, and in Group A, Uganda could well be a surprise team in that group. And in Africa, of course, there's different ways of qualifying for the World Cup in Russia. There's the five winners of the groups that go through.
Well, there's no margin for error. If you lose to your biggest opponent, it could very well mean you're not going to make the World Cup. So we'll see. It's been a while since we've seen Egypt in the World Cup. So remember that the year where they were in the same group as England back at, I think it was about, that was 82, I believe, when all four teams were tied exactly the same, points, goals, and goals for and goals against going into the last match. So anything can happen in these World Cup qualifiers. Looking in Asia, I mean, you've got Uzbekistan right now looking like they're in Iran ahead of South Korea in Group A, and that would be
In South Korea play Uzbekistan tomorrow, I think it is, with the qualifier. So that's going to be a key one. And, of course, Australia, they travel to Thailand. They've got a relatively easy result, and it's Japan and South Korea that are contesting the second spot. So it's going to be. But the key one, probably, Andrew, and you, I'm sure, saw the game. The Brazil Argentina game is in CONMEBOL, South America.
Unbelievable, boy! And Argentina, there was a lot of. A lot of problems with the Argentines. They were thoroughly beaten by Brazil. It was one of the biggest wins for Brazil in a long time, outside of the Olympic Games, obviously. But this is what really counts, and beating your biggest rival, and you know, it's shutting them out. Really, it was a great.
Yeah, and as it stands at the moment, Argentina would not qualify if it was the standings of today, and they've got a big game against Colombia. So it's going to be really interesting to see how it comes out, because at the moment Brazil and Uruguay are totally dominant in the top 24 points for Brazil, 23 for Uruguay, and it's the battle below that. But what a disappointment that would be if Lionel Messi did not make it to the World Cup finals.
I think there's going to be some. They'll have their chance to get in. And three through eight right now is separated by only 4 points. So only Venezuela and Bolivia, I think, can probably write off this World Cup right now. But Brazil, Uruguay look very good to get into Russia. And we'll talk about CONCACAF when we talk with Michael Lewis. But in Europe, I mean, we have some interesting group leaders in Europe right now. Some games, teams we may not have expected to be at the top of the group. So, I mean, Switzerland is ahead right now in the group ahead of Portugal. So, I mean, that's a big surprise there. We may be seeing some potential teams getting into the playoff. I mean, again, Europe is not easy to qualify for the World Cup because of the, you have to either win your group or you have to finish in, you have to get the second place and play in a playoff, and those playoff games.
Yeah, no, it's quite complex, isn't it? It's different for each of the confederations, different ways of qualifying. Of course, we know what it's like in CONCACAF. But, and we've got some interesting friendlies coming up, Andrew.
Wow.
Italy, Germany, Spain, England.
Spain and England, and in Germany and Italy coming up this week, tomorrow, as a matter of fact. Certainly. You could call them friendlies, Dick, but I don't think you can really call them
friendlies. No, it's a lot at stake. It was interesting. I saw a press release today where the German team visited the Pope, and, of course, he is a big fan of the game, big fan of Argentinian football, and the German team were really impressed with the overall visit. So that's going to be an interesting one. And interesting in another way in that they're going to use video replays to see with some of the key referee decisions. Two video assistant referees will be employed in the game between Italy and Germany, and who knows, we've talked about it possibly being implemented in Russia in the World Cup, but they're trying it out in the friendly match tomorrow.
Well, you know, Dick, with all of the problems they've had with especially offsides calls, I think that's the hardest, and it's always been the hardest one, but now with the technology that you can see that is shown on television, the line gets drawn where the offside is. You can really tell, I think, where there is an offside. But you know what I would say is this, and people complain about the National Football League and the NBA and college basketball and college football about the delays in the game. What they do in college hockey in the playoffs, they have a replay system, but the game goes on while they're checking the replay, and if they find that a goal was scored, this is especially for goal decisions, if they find a goal was scored, they will stop play and award the goal, and sometimes it would mean the end of the game. And I think that's what you have to do here. If you stop the game too much, Dick, it's just going to be very difficult. The fans are not going to accept it. They're not going to sit around waiting for a referee's decision. It has to be either instantaneous or they have to let play go on and then change the call later.
Yeah, it needs a lot of tweaking, I think, before it actually is implemented. But as you already mentioned, you know, with its use in other sports, use that as an example. But and it's back to, you know, league play in Europe. Some interesting games coming up at the weekend, Andrew.
And first off, right off the top, you've got 7:30 in the morning, Manchester United against Arsenal, two of the heavyweights in the Premiership. It'll be on NBC Sports Network at 7:30. It's a big game for Manchester United. They really need a result because they're right now on the outside looking in for Europe next year. They're sitting outside of the top four. So certainly a result against Arsenal will propel them back into contention for a place in the Champions League.
Yeah. And it's an interesting situation, of course, you're probably aware of with Arsenal, with Sanchez, Alexis Sanchez. Will he play for his national team in a World Cup qualifier for Chile? He's coming back from injury, and Arsene Wenger, understandably, is very concerned about that situation. But what I found really interesting, Andrew, and it shows the money that's in the game at the moment, is several of the top teams in the world had chartered executive jets to bring back some of their star players from qualifying games, especially those being played in South America, which just shows the power of the players and the need to get back into home soil to get ready for the upcoming games.
Well, it's an interesting point you make, Dick, because Alexis Sanchez and Chile, they play Uruguay at home on tomorrow, and Chile stands in fifth place right now. So this is a very important game for Chile. They could move themselves up into the top four in South America with a victory, and Sanchez will certainly be a big part of that. The Chileans, who did so well in the Copa America, they're one of the top teams
right now.
It's
a club country, but and you can understand the concerns of club coaches, but you can also understand the concerns of the national team coaches. You know, you want it to be best for both sides, but it's certainly affecting a team like Atletico Madrid, because the Griezmann was injured in World Cup qualifying for France and will not probably play against Real Madrid in the Battle of Madrid this coming weekend. And then we've got, another one, Milan-Inter.
That's coming up also. That's coming up on Sunday. The other match to look out for, we don't talk about the Bundesliga too much, but certainly with Christian Pulisic from the United States with Borussia Dortmund, they will play Bayern Munich. And Bayern Munich is right now trying to hold off a challenge from an outsider in the Bundesliga who are making games right now.
Yeah, good. RB Leipzig.
Leipzig will play on Friday against Leverkusen, and we'll see if Chicharito will play. Yeah. But Leipzig has never done anything in Germany.
They're tied actually with Bayern, aren't they? With 24 points, and then you've got Hoffenheim, and you've got Hertha Berlin, and then you've got Borussia Dortmund, who could have a new player in their books. You see that? They're having Usain Bolt on trial?
I did see that. And, of course, he's always said that he wants to play for Manchester
United. He loves his football. He loves his soccer, as you're saying, and a little bit of pace there up front.
Well, I think it would be accurate to say he would be the fastest player in the history of football if he decided to.
I think he would. You could certainly utilize him in a effective way, but I was surprised when I saw that. But
well, he's always said he wants.
Never say never.
He's getting on in years now. I mean, how much work can he do in the Olympics? I think he certainly. I mean, if you look at guys like Michael Jordan, look at Bo Jackson back in the day, Deion Sanders, they played two different professional sports. And Bolt, I mean, if he has any kind of skill. Just the threat of him getting behind the defense.
I see him in action, and he's got good feet. You know, he's quite comfortable with the ball at his feet, as you were saying. So
he's a big guy too. I
mean, stay tuned.
Well, you know what, Dortmund would be an interesting situation if it did happen. It's certainly something we'll want to watch for. But Dick, I know you're getting excited about getting that Montreal-Toronto match, and it's going to be something. What are the Canadian fans and the Canadian press talking about with the Mets right at this point?
Is it, well, the great thing, Andrew, is that there is, especially in the print media, there's a newspaper we have called the Globe and Mail, a daily newspaper across Canada, and sometimes they will have a whole page devoted to soccer. Now, it helps that the executive editor of the newspaper is a big soccer fan, but it's great, the coverage, and there was coverage of our under-20 women's team that's playing in Papua New Guinea. Unfortunately, got lost to Spain 5-0 in the opening game, but there was coverage on that. There was coverage on the Montreal preparations for the game. There's article also on TFC and what they're doing in preparing for the game. So it's great, the coverage in the newspapers and in the TV and with the radio, and certainly it's going to capture the imagination of a lot of people, this two-game series.
And, of course, Montreal Impact have won titles before. They've won the A-League, and they've won in the same league as the Rhinos, of course. But it's been a long time.
And a good Rhino connection with Mauro Biello, of course, played for the Rhinos and doing a superb job as the coach of the Impact.
And I know that all the people here in Rochester, the Rhinos fans, are all, they're rooting for him because, I mean, he's been with, other than the year he was with the Rhinos, he is a Montreal Impact person. I mean, he's spent his entire life with his club as a player and now as a head coach. And I know he's...
You know, Mauro and Nick DeSantis, of course, you know well, they've done an outstanding job for the Impact, and this is going to be some series.
It is, and... What's the attendance looking like for BMO Field on the 30th?
Well, BMO is around about 28,000 at the moment, but we have a Canadian Football League final being played later in the month, and they're bringing in extra stands for that, so they hope that they'll have those ready and be able to be used. An extra 4,000 or 5,000 people, I think, could be accommodated.
So the Grey Cup final is going to be played.
As I mentioned earlier, 60,000 in the Big O. Olympic Stadium, it's a fabulous atmosphere when that is full.
Well, that is, of course, enclosed, but BMO Field is not, so it could be a very cold, cold day or night in Toronto. And
it'll be warm in the press box, Andrew, if you decide to come to the game.
I'm afraid I would be left out of the press box. I have to sit outside. It was bad enough when I had to do that in the summertime. Imagine if it's 25 degrees and everybody is bundled up. But we'll talk more about that, Dick, next week. We're hoping that we can get a special interview.
We sure will, and hopefully there'll be a good result for the USA against the Ticos tomorrow in Costa Rica.
Oh, boy. It's going to be... Well, we're going to talk with Michael about it, but I'm thinking positive because Costa Rica right now is devastated in the back with injuries, and of course they have Navas, one of the best keepers in the world, but right now the U.S. attack is certainly capable with Wood and Altidore. But we'll talk with more with Michael about that, because he's got a lot to say, I'm sure, about U.S.-Mexico. He was there on site and he saw all that happened. But Dick, thanks so much. We'll talk more about Montreal-Toronto on next Monday's show. Don't forget, it's a 6 o'clock
kickoff. Look forward to it, Andrew. Ciao. Thanks.
We'll let you know what time. Thanks a lot, Dick. Bye-bye. Coward here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Again, if you didn't just tuning in, next week's show will kick off at 6 p.m. on WYSL and live at soccerisakickinthegrass.com. We'll go to 7:10 before University of Rochester basketball here on WYSL. As we mentioned, Michael Lewis is up next with the U.S. Soccer Report. We'll talk about U.S. Mexico and U.S. Costa Rica next on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass here on WYSL, 92.1 FM and 1040 AM, and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Your local sports leader. You're listening to AM 1040 WYSL Avon Rochester, FM 92.1, W22 1CL Rochester, and WYSL1040.com.
Your family is growing, and it's time for a new home. Why buy a used house with someone else's style when you can afford a new Faber home, built to suit your taste and your needs? Start fresh, build new with Faber. Faber Homes can customize your home to meet your wishes and dreams. Faber Homes is now building in 6 locations. Visit the Faber Homes website at faberhomes.com and find the plan of your dreams or a quick deliver home. Give Faber Homes a call today at 247-4800 or visit faberhomes.com for our current incentives. Faber Homes, great homes, great price.
St. Padre Pio Chapel, located at 141 Frank Domino Way in Gates, is a great place to visit during the holiday season for thought and reflection. The chapel is open daily from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and you can have a tour of the chapel on request. To arrange for a tour, please call Pia Pelosi at 621-6703.
Caring for your teeth is a key factor in promoting good health. Joe and Andrew highly recommend Dr. David Olivo and his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue for all your dental needs. Dr. Olivo and his experienced staff provide a wide array of dental services and procedures in a comfortable and caring atmosphere. New patients are always welcome. Visit Dr. Olivo's interactive website at davidolivodmd.com or call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo. Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Doug Miller Family Sports Park is proud to be a sponsor of Soccer's A Kick in the Grass. Doug Miller Family Sports Park is home to Doug Miller Soccer, Rochester Golf Academy, Glacier Ridge Snow Tubing, and Salvatore's. Check us out at DougMillerFamilySportsPark.com.
Coosh-a-coosh, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's!
The Rochester Rhinos players and staff would like to thank all the fans for supporting them during 2016 at Rochester Rhino Stadium and for the last 21 years. Season ticket packages for the 2017 Rochester Rhinos are now on sale. Become a season ticket holder and take advantage of the Genesee Brew House Beer Garden, the new Bourbon Bar, and great concession stands like Zweigel's Nation and the Royal Rhino. Visit rhinosoccer.com or call 454-KICK to hear about exciting early bird special offers. The Rhinos will be back for another exciting year of soccer this coming spring.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Soccer is a kick in the grass. It's the U.S. Soccer Report with the editor of BigAppleSoccer.com and Tropigol.com, former Rochester Lancers reporter and a 2012 inductee into the Lancers Wall of Fame, Michael Lewis.
I want to be part of it. New York, New York.
And the U.S. Soccer Report, part one of this with Michael Lewis, brought to you by Allstate Insurance and local agent Enzo Scolo. Two locations in the Monroe County area, Country Club Plaza at East Rochester and 12 Corners in Brighton. Go to ScoloInsuranceAgencies.com for more information. Scolo is spelled S-C-O-L-L-O. We want to thank Edso and his entire staff and his agency for being a longtime sponsor of Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Michael, thanks so much for joining us. How are things going in New York?
Very well, thank you. How are things up in Rochester?
It was a very, very nice day today. It was about 60 degrees and sunny and not a cloud in the sky. So you can't ask for much more than that. And certainly, I guess we're trying to avoid the inevitable here, talking about the U.S.-Mexico match. But let's talk about it because you were there in person. And let me ask you this first off. Tell everybody about the atmosphere, because hearing it on television, I don't think probably didn't do it justice about how into it the crowd was at that match.
One thing about soccer or any other sporting event that I attend, if the fans are not engaged, there's definitely something missing. And this night, the fans were definitely engaged. It was loud. We could hear ourselves think, but very enthusiastic. And even the small contingent that rooted for Mexico were pretty loud as well, too, and definitely they had their moments. Of course, when the U.S. Did not have its moments, sometimes you could hear a pin drop there. But, you know, as enthusiastic as the fans were, and I know a lot was made of this game being the first U.S.-Mexico match after the election of Donald Trump, and I think I'd like to think your listeners out there understand where I'm going. I don't have to get into too many details. There were some fears, maybe, perhaps, that the fans would go over the top. And from what I saw myself, what I heard, no one did. And they kept it soccer, not political, which, or as I said in one of my stories, political football. But what I'm getting at is it was a fantastic atmosphere, and I wish I was at more games like that. Unfortunately, we just don't get fans revved up that much. Let's face it, national team, U.S. versus Mexico, regardless of what the outcome will be, just the build-up to that and the game, it's, well, the atmosphere of the game, you can't get too much better than that.
It was a great atmosphere, and you got to give hats off to the people of Columbus and all the fans who traveled to the game. I mean, there were many people, including our good friend Top-Notch Tony. He goes to every match, but he could not get tickets for the match on Friday. And it was his birthday too. So, by the way, happy birthday, Tony. Sorry you couldn't get out there. I guess in the end, it probably wasn't a bad thing he didn't go. It was a very disappointing result for the United States. And, of course, Michael, everybody on the broadcast of the game on Fox Sports and the pundits all saying, why did Klinsmann go to a 3-5-2 to start the game? And was that the reason why they never got involved until, you know, midway through the first half when they got the formation change done with one of the Mexican players was injured, they were able to make that change. What were your thoughts as you saw that first half unfold?
I agree that, well, first of all, you go with what has worked for you in the past. And you don't start tinkering with a team in an important World Cup qualifying match. Granted, there are nine others down the road, and the U.S. mathematically at least could make it up. But even though Klinsmann said, well, it worked out well in practice, well, practice and training is not the same as actual game against the likes of Chicharito, Carlos Vela, Rafa Marquez, among others, because in training you're still not playing passionately or playing for your country. And I really think that, you know, it put the U.S. obviously behind the eight ball, and it was sort of like a wasted half. You know, I'm not saying a 4-4-2, the U.S. would have the lead, but you just have to wonder, they would probably have maybe a few more shots on goal, and who knows, maybe Mexico doesn't score that first goal. Just a head-scratcher. And let's face it, this isn't the first time Klinsmann has forced us to scratch our heads. Some of us might be hitting our heads against the wall seeing all this happening. I guess the bright side for the U.S. is that there's nine more games left. Of course, I'm probably getting into your next question or next series of questions. The next game is tomorrow night in Costa Rica. The U.S. has never won there. They're 0-8-1. That doesn't mean they can't win there, but the times I've been there and the games that I've seen on TV, talk about a tough atmosphere. Estadio Nacional, it was used for a U.S.-Costa Rican World Cup qualifier for the first time in 2013. And I said, it could not be as loud or intimidating as Saprissa was, which was the venue of many of the other previous encounters between the two teams. It was louder, and it was at least intimidating, if not more. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean Costa Rica is going to win, but the U.S. has a tough challenge because, quite frankly, if they come out of the first two games 0-2 and no points, they're going to be chasing the group for at least a while, if not into the fifth, sixth, seventh game. If the U.S. does qualify for the 2018 World Cup in Russia, it will be very, very, very late. And there'll be many home games that will be must-win. Sorry if I got a little ahead of myself there, though.
Well, that's okay. You're on a roll. But one more thing before we get to Costa Rica. There's some interesting news about the Ticos we want to bring up. But I mean, who would you think played well for the U.S. and who didn't? And obviously we want to talk about Tim Howard because it was announced he's going to be out 4 months due to the adjudicator injury, which obviously was a big loss for the U.S. But, I mean, Guzan was not at fault for that corner kick goal. I mean, that was a matter of the U.S. had not had a corner kick against them the whole match, and they did not mark up, and they didn't have a man in the back post, which they should have, which may have stopped that goal from going in. But what are your thoughts on the players in the match?
Well, you know, tough blow for Tim Howard and for the U.S. losing someone like him. Guzan's capable goalkeeper. I still think Howard is still, let's say, half a step or a step ahead of him, but it is what it is, and they have to make do. Thank God at least the U.S. has had good goalkeepers through the years. Bradley and Jermaine Jones, you know, I don't think they played up to their potential particularly well in the first half. And, you know, I think that was part of that was the formation, which they were very uncomfortable with and they didn't like very much. The one player that I thought stood out very, very well was the youngest one on the field, Christian Pulisic. He just doesn't look like an 18-year-old player. It just seems like his mind has been programmed as a 25-year-old, a veteran player. Yes, he does make some mistakes once in a while, but you could tell he is a good one. Whether or not how good he becomes, I don't want to use the word great because I know that we've gone gaga over young talented teenagers before, and a lot of them have fallen by the wayside in terms of heading toward greatness, even though they have good, solid careers. But he's on his way to becoming a good player, hopefully a very good player. Just he's very tactically aware, seems to anticipate well. And I wish we had a few more at his level coming up that would make me more optimistic about the future of the United States national team.
Well, I have a little bit different viewpoint. Christian Pulisic certainly had a good match, but I think he did not dominate as I thought he might. I think he made some mistakes, especially in the final third. I think my player match was Jozy Altidore. He was an absolute beast out there. When he got his game going, it was started off a little slowly, but once he got into the game, they were all over him and they could not stop him. I mean, he set up the goal the U.S. scored, and he was very dangerous. Talk about he was one of those young players. He's the one guy, one of the young guys who has developed into a star. And I think it's going to be difficult for Costa Rica. They are devastated at the back right now. Four of their best defenders are out injured right now. And I think the U.S., if Wood and Altidore can play up to their potential, they're going to give Costa Rica problems. And of course, you have one of the best keepers in the world in Navas in the back to save the day. But still, I think with the problems in the back, the U.S. might be able to get a result in this match. If they can play work in midfield and get the ball to Altidore and Wood, who are just dominant right now up top.
The big thing is, you know, you said the magic word, a result. It does not have to be a win. A tie is just as, well, I can't say just as good as a victory, but what it does is it gives you a point and it extracts two potential other points from Costa Rica. And we have to remember, a 10-game series, like the hexagonal, it's a short season. So you're playing against these teams. You're trying to accrue points, but there's that counterbalance of making sure your opposition doesn't get as many. And to, again, extract a couple points from a tough, traditionally tough team at home, such as Costa Rica, any sort of a draw would be considered a victory for the U.S. Of course, that's easier said than done. And just because the U.S. has never won in Costa Rica doesn't mean it can't happen. It's just, we've seen how difficult it has been. It's not impossible, but it's going to take a big-time effort by the United States to pull that off.
Well, nobody thought Mexico could win in Columbus. It was cold enough in Columbus to be similar to the Colorado match with the snow, but certainly the other thing to keep in mind, though, Michael, is that All three road teams won their matches on the weekend. The U.S. is actually right now in fourth place in the hexagonal, which puts them into the playoff spot against the fifth-place team out of Asia. So the U.S. doesn't have to play a South American team if it does come down to that. They'd have to play an Asian team, which could be anybody from Japan to Uzbekistan to Iran even, which would certainly, or Saudi Arabia, which would be very interesting for non-soccer reasons. But I think it's a very, we could see potentially, I mean, we could see three teams with 6 points and three teams with 0 points coming out of Tuesday's matches. It's very possible.
It is. One interesting thing, if you look at the schedule, Mexico is playing its first two matches on the road, and if they could earn 3 points in Panama, that they will be in an enviable position, knowing that they're going to have to play out of their remaining 8 games, 5 at home, with 6 points already. Again, easier said than done. Panama, even though I still don't think it's the same team as it was 4, 6, or 8 years ago, can still be a formidable foe. But again, if Mexico can win on the road, they'll be in, for lack of better words, the hexagonal driver's seat.
They certainly will. And again, my apologies. I was under the impression Mexico was actually home in that match against Panama. You are correct, as always, Michael. They are on the road. So Panama, who has three toes, battle of the for first place in the hex right now, Panama against Mexico. Honduras certainly has an opportunity to gain points as well. They will host Trinidad and Tobago, who was less than impressive in their play in their match against Costa Rica. So Honduras and Trinidad certainly were looking for points in their match as well. So it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of this. It'll be the last time the teams play until the end of March. So certainly a long time to wait. But the match kicks off down in Costa Rica at 9 o'clock. At 9:05, it'll be on beIN Sport, and you can watch that match. You can watch Honduras and Trinidad if you have the beIN Sport Connect at 5:05, and then Panama-Mexico also on beIN Sport Connect and also on Telemundo. So we're going to take a break. We're going to be back with Michael and talk what's going on in New York City. Two big news items in New York happened over the weekend. The Cosmos and the NASL title, and the loss of a big-name player from NYCFC. We'll talk about that next here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass with Michael Lewis here on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
An experienced professional with more than 15 years in dentistry, Dr. David Olivo welcomes new patients to his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue. At the office of Dr. Olivo, you'll discover a warm and comforting environment staffed by professionals who are committed to providing the best available dental care while assuring your complete comfort. Call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
These days, we're pinching pennies everywhere we can. On groceries, utilities, even insurance. But get into one car accident and your rates could rise as much as 40% just because of it. Suddenly, your affordable insurance isn't. Unless you have Allstate Accident Forgiveness, then the accident won't make your rates go up at all. It's part of your choice auto, only from Allstate. Are you in good hands?
Feature is optional and subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois.
Looking to save money on your weekly grocery bill? Visit Olindo's Cash and Carry at 1510 Lyle Avenue in Rochester. Olindo's provides Italian and Spanish items, imported and domestic cheeses, deli meats, and homegrown produce with a perfect blend of quality, selection, value, and personal service. Olindo's wholesale prices are the best around, and there's no membership fee. Call Olindo's at 647-1985 or visit them on the web at olindofoodservice.com.
The 2016 NWSL champion Western New York Flash would like to thank all their fans in Rochester and the surrounding area for helping them to their historic title run this past season. 2017 Flash season tickets are now on sale. Reserve your seats for all 10 Flash home matches and receive exclusive perks for being one of our most dedicated fans. Come cheer the Flash as they look to repeat as NWSL champions. Call 271-KICK or go to WNYFlash.com. The Western New York Flash. Experience the best.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Welcome back to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Andrew Battisti here. Joe Sirianni will be back on next Monday's show. Back with Michael Lewis. And Michael, the big news out of New York today, I assume it's going to be the retirement of one of my favorite players of the past two decades. Frank Lampard is leaving NYCFC, and rumor is he's going to go into coaching in England. So what does that mean for NYCFC losing Frank Lampard, and who do you think they might try to get to replace him?
Yes, obviously it means they're losing a very reliable goal scorer when he was healthy. He scored 12 goals in, 1,900 minutes. An excellent pace for a striker, let alone a midfielder. I still think he has something left in his tank, particularly for MLS. Maybe he'd struggle, perhaps, or not play up to his potential or level in the EPL, but if he wanted to come back for next year, I'd like to think he could still be an impact player. Saying that, yes, he wants to go into coaching, wants to pursue his coaching badge, and, he knows life goes on, and he knows his body better than anyone else, and he probably thinks that, okay, I don't want to put it through anymore, and this is a great time to leave. I think it would be a better time for him if the NYCFC had gone a little deeper in the playoffs, but that's not a major part of his legacy. It's all about what he did in the EPL and for the national team as well. And would not be surprised if he winds up being the English coach someday. Yes, I know it seems like everyone in England has coached the English national side at one time or another, but in the few times that I've had the opportunity to talk to him in a media scrum, I thought he handled himself well, first of all, and two, intelligent guy. And that doesn't necessarily make you a great coach, but I think it's the building blocks for one. And I wish him well. I know he took a lot of abuse even before he came over here because of all the Manchester City wranglings about whether or not he was a lone player for them or for NYCFC. He was sort of like the pawn in the middle, but did not get off on a good on the proverbial good foot with the NYCFC fans. But when he played, one of the best players on the field. His replacement, well, I have to admit I have not been on the internet recently looking for the answer. Just because I've had to do some other things, but would not be surprised if NYCFC goes after another high-profile international player. I'd like to see them get younger because you're talking Villa, Pirlo, and Lampard. Here averaging, 36, 37 years old? And that can catch up to you in a league like Major League Soccer, whether you're a midfielder or a forward. Yes, if you take a look at NYCFC's problems, you could probably say, yeah, they need another defender. But my gut feeling is the powers that be at the club will go after a high-profile offensive-minded player or a midfielder or forward for 2017. I'm intrigued to see who they will bring in.
I'll throw a name out there, Bastian Schweinsteiger. I think he's out of favor right now. He had met in Manchester with Jose Mourinho. I don't think it's going to be Wayne Rooney. I think the rumors are he's going to go to L.A. Football Club as potentially in 2018. But Schweinsteiger, I think, would be an interesting pickup. He's certainly a similar type player to Lampard, an attacking midfielder, and a lot of experience. And certainly there are many Germans in the New York area who would certainly love to see a German national team player come and play for the, much like Beckenbauer did back in the day with the Cosmos.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. I think he'd be a good addition to the team. I think the way things are going at Manchester United, maybe the sooner the better for him. We'll see something happening during the winter. My gut feeling would be, if it is him, it would be something happening during the winter transfer window. So who knows, maybe something could be over here as early as sometime in January, because I have some opinions about Man United, and that whole situation with Mourinho is not good at all. But that's for, I'll let Dick Howard tackle that next week.
Yeah,
or if he hasn't already.
We want to talk a bit about the Cosmos. Certainly the big news out of New York also was the Cosmos winning the NASL title for the third time in 4 years as the eighth championship, if you consider the old Cosmos to be the same team as the new Cosmos. That's debatable, but I guess I was disappointed, though, Michael, in saying that in your report at BigAppleSoccer.com that at Belsen Stadium at St. John's, which holds 2,500 people, it was not a sellout, and that just... it bodes very badly for the NASL that's going to lose at least three teams next year, with Minnesota going to the MLS and Ottawa, Tampa Bay going to the USL. They're bringing in San Francisco, and I can't see that team lasting more than a couple years given the travel schedule they're going to have. Their closest team is Edmonton, and the next closest, I believe, is Indianapolis. So it's going to be very difficult, I think, and the NASL might be on its last legs. But tell us about the Cosmos match, how that went. It was a 0-0 tie, and it went a 4-2 shootout victory.
Yeah, you know, on paper, a scoreless draw does not look very appetizing. Both teams essentially, you know, it was a very even game. Both teams had a few chances. I give a lot of credit to both teams. They played very good defense. They blocked a lot of shots, negated key players on both sides. Dia didn't do as much as people expected for Indy, ditto for Juan Arango, who has been the straw that has stirred the Cosmos drink this season, particularly in the second half of the season. But, you know, I give Indy a lot of credit. They did everything perfectly defensively to shut down the Cosmos. They did everything well except score a goal during regulation or an extra time. And as we all know, I'm not a fan of penalty kicks, and it's a crapshoot when it comes to deciding who's going to do what. And, you know, Indy missed two out of its four attempts. One was an attempt by its goalkeeper, the third shooter, Jonathan Bush, who gave the fans a nice souvenir. I assume they...
especially kicking into the street.
That's how poorly his shot was taken. But, you know, the Cosmos put it away, and the man who scored the winning penalty kick, Ryan Richter, wasn't even a member of the team until September 20th. So talk about an unlikely hero there for the penalty kick shootout. But like I said, an evenly matched game. You know, you couldn't say that, oh, well, you know, if Indy would have won the shootout, you know, no problem on that. To me, it was pretty 50-50. The attendance, no excuse for that. If you can't fill up a 2,500-seat stadium for a championship game, there are problems. And I know we're running out of time. Maybe another time we'll talk about it, but there are too many problems there with the team and the league for the future that I've got some serious doubts of my own.
Well, we'll see how that plays out. You know, there's Certainly. I think the Rhinos, made the right move to stay in the USL. As they have, that league is flourishing right now. But we'll see how it goes. Next year, we'll see what the NASL can do. You never know what they might come up with. But we're going to let you go, Michael. Hopefully, we'll be talking about a U.S. result against Costa Rica. And then we'll be talking MLS semifinals on next week's show. It starts again early at 6 o'clock. So, again, thank you, Michael, for being on, as always. And we'll talk to you then.
Hey, you're welcome, Hen, and have a good week, and send my regards to Joe, and hope my prayers go out to him and his family for his brother.
Thanks a lot, Michael. It's Michael Lewis here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, and I want to thank Michael and Dick Howard and, of course, Bob D'Angelo in the control room at WYSL. Again, next Monday, a special starting time, 6 p.m. We'll go to 7:10 here on WYSL for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, and also live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com. For Joe Sirianni, I'm Andrew Battisti. Have a good night, everybody.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry and brought to you by the following sponsors, the Rochester Rhinos and Western New York Flash, top-notch monogramming Northfield Commons, Pittsburgh, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Faber Homes, Claridge Design Center, Olindo's, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. Tune in again next week for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.